We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers! Thanks for checking out the Bobby Bone Show Replay Podcast.
This is a preview of our podcast, The Sore Losers.
We're three guys who sit around, talk about sports, guy stuff, basically three dudes making each other laugh while trying to not sound like we're complete idiots.
On this episode, you'll hear our interview with Shawn Johnson, Olympian gold medalist, gymnast.
Yeah!
She'll talk about how where she keeps her gold medals nowadays.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Late.
We have a very
please introduce our guest.
Yes, we have a very special guest.
It's our first guest, like
our
real
first guest ever. And we brought in the heavy hitters, gold medalists. That's right, gold medalists, Shawn Johnson.
I think that's the greatest intro I've ever had in my life.
Did we make you feel special?
You did.
Good.
I loved all of it.
And
thank
I bet
you.
Some of our people are like, there's no way they have Shawn Johnson in there right now.
Like, tell them it's really the real Shawn Johnson.
I think so.
How
yes.
can you prove that? Like,
I have
like
no
if
idea.
Somebody was like, I don't believe you.
Yeah, give
you.
Me your social security number. Say, no, it's really you.
Yeah. Here's my address, my social security number.
I can't believe she actually just like lives in Nashville. You usually got to be in New York, LA, you land some stars. We just pull in a star and we just have a podcast in Nashville.
Listen.
Nashville's so much better than New York or LA.
Well, no. Nashville's the place right now. So we got the Titans, we got the Preds. The Preds dudes dating Lindsey Vonn. We got Kristen Cavallari.
Wait, for real?
PK Subban.
Yeah. We got Kristen Cavallari, Jay Cutler. All these dudes when they retire move here. Kirk Herbstreit. And Sean. Johnson
the
and
Deckers.
Her husband.
Don't forget the Deckers.
Yeah, the Deckers.
Jesse. He said the Duggers.
I was like, the Duggers live here too?
Well, they probably do. There's 20 of them.
That's right.
So, yes. All right. So, we play a game at the beginning of every podcast. It's called Would You Rather?
Love it.
Game on!
Would you rather never age mentally or never age physically?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Physically?
Yeah.
Like, mentally, that sounds like whatever. That can be me right now. Like, we're immature, and I'll never get older mentally. I think physically is where it's at. I mean,
absolutely,
you want to look young and like, what up? Look at me. I look like I'm 20. What up?
Dude, me, I don't ever want to get old mentally. I always want to be smart and witty. When it's going to suck so bad when I'm 80, and I want that joke to be there so bad, and it's not. And I'm trying to be funny with the grandkids and my kids and do that. Dude, you have to have your mental capacity, or you're just a boring person. Who cares about the physical stuff? You guys realize, like, this isn't L.A. Who cares about the superficialities? Like, have a good mind. Be intelligent. Why would you not want to be intelligent for the rest of your life?
You feel better when you have a young body. Like, when you have a good, healthy body, you feel better.
Yeah, Eddie. But when you talk like a five-year-old your whole life, it's not really that much fun. Like, you can walk around
you
looking.
You do talk like a five-year-old your whole
life. I know. I pretty much talk like a 25-year-old. I feel pretty good. But I don't want to age mentally because I want to, like Ray say, you want to be smart, you want to be witty, and you don't want to forget things. Like, my grandpa towards the end, like, he would be driving to Walgreens.
Oh, man.
And he would forget.
Dude, why would you go this
route?
This is
going to be so sad. Why would you do this?
And he would forget where he was going, and he'd turn around and just go home. And then grandma would be like, well, did you get the stuff from Walgreens? He's like, oh, I forgot I was going to Walgreens. So that's what I mean. I would rather keep my mental state, you know, sharp and crisp.
Shawn,
for sure, please.
I feel like with age comes wisdom, though. So I would definitely take the physical. I would rather stay, like, young physically. And
of course, because she's a gymnast. She dances.
She's a gold medalist. She's, you know, I mean, I want to just be an awesome athlete my whole life and be able to show
off. I lost
off.
It a long time ago, so I'm already not a good athlete anymore.
You don't like every day when you wake up, you're not working
out?
I don't
flip on a beam or
something. No.
That's what I was going to say. You don't do cartwheels in the living room to wake up?
So you for sure, you don't really do the gymnast stuff anymore? Okay, not at all.
She's retired,
I mean,
dude.
I could like play around in a gym. I could still do a flip, but no.
So when's the last time you had a real serious gymnast workout where you went and you got on the uneven bars and started doing some flips and craziness?
Probably back in 2012.
Wow. How... Like, because you retired in 2012 when you were trying to make a comeback for the Olympics, all that you announced, I'm done, I'm out of here, I'm done with gymnastics. So how hard is it to walk away from something you've been doing since you're 3 years old?
It was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, when you're so consumed and have such a, like, undying passion for something and you leave it, it's kind of like a bad breakup. You, like, feel a void in yourself. But I don't know, my body feels a lot better now.
So what did you do to fill the time? Because you're practicing all the time. You know, you're going to meet.
That's your life.
Yeah, that is your life. Your life is training to become an Olympic gold medalist, to compete in the Olympics, to be the best in the world. And then it's just gone. Like, Do you just go on a long vacation? Do you eat a bunch of cake and let yourself go because you're finally not training?
Like, she's not let herself go. She's in shape.
Yeah, no, what are you talking about?
But she could have got back in shape. What I'm saying is right afterwards, like, a lot of pro athletes. Like, look at Charles Barkley. He's fat.
Dude, Charles Barkley was fat on the court.
He not was
the,
that fat.
The round mound of rebound.
That's true.
I don't know. I would say it's probably the hardest, like, transition for an elite athlete they will ever go through. I mean, like you said, you're consumed. Every decision you make on a daily basis is revolved around your sport. And for me, how I ate, how I trained, who I hung out with, it revolved around gymnastics. And when I retired, I always say it felt like I ran straight into a brick wall because I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to work out. I didn't know, like, how to function as a human being without gymnastics. And I think you kind of go through a depression. I mean, not to get all down.
No, but no,
you're good.
But
she's like, how deep do you guys like?
Yeah, like I really want to know because I don't know professional athletes. I don't hang out with them.
We and can so tell.
Yeah. When they retire, because we're always like Eli Noodle Arm. I feel like he should retire because he looks
Manning.
Terrible.
He means Manning.
But at the same time, I'm like, deep down, it's really play as long as you want because this is your career. And if you look bad in our eyes, as long as you're still having fun and you want to do it. Because walking away, that's what you've known your whole life, and then you have to start a whole new life. And you were, how old were you when you retired? 21, 22 years old?
Like 19.
19. Wait, but dude, I thought Andy Roddick was awesome. I think he retired maybe late 20s, early 30s. Dude, she retired at 19.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Weren't you like one of the oldest though, like competing at that time? Like
at that time, yeah.
That's crazy.
I was a grandma by gymnastic standards.
Why is okay? So,
because you got to be so physically fit to do all that crap, dude. They're freaking swinging on bars. They do the like balance beam. You can't even do a balance beam ever in the entire life.
Wrong. I did a cartwheel on the balance beam when I was 5 years old because I went to gymnastics instead of preschool. So let's relax. By the end of the year, I was able to do a cartwheel up there, and that was it.
Like literally, the stuff they do only 12-year-olds can do, unless you're in crazy shape and you do all this stuff for years and years and years. Why did we have gymnastics when we were kids? Because you could do it then. There's no courses now. There's Pilates, which is kind of close to it, but that's about it.
I mean, I really love that you're talking all about gymnastics when we have like a pro right in front of
she
us.
She can tell us the
truth. She could tell us all what, the
I
real
mean,
stuff.
He's pretty spot on.
But he's acting like you're not even sitting there.
I love it though. I mean, I agree with what he's saying. In gymnastics, you see like male and female. Females do so much better when you're younger just because it becomes really scary and like death defying. And the older you get, the more mature your mind gets, the more you start picturing like what could go wrong. So you really want like a childlike mindset of that naive, like I can do anything mindset.
Very interesting.
And with female gymnastics or women's gymnastics, I don't know why I said female gymnastics. Really
never said that in your life.
You've never said that ever. The younger you are, the more aerodynamic you are, the lighter you are in women's gymnastics, the higher you fly and the easier skills are. When you start becoming curvier and more woman-like, it becomes harder. For men, the older they get, the stronger they get. So it becomes easier for men when they get older.
Those male gymnasts, they're older.
Yeah. Usually the men are at least in their mid-20s, if not out of college and in their 30s. Women are 99% of the time under the age of 18.
Wow.
Which is so weird to me because... So you start gymnastics what age?
3.
3 years old. Your parents do this because did they see that you were going to be a good athlete or did they just say, okay, we want to get our daughter involved in something?
I jumped off the like second stair banister because I thought I could fly. And so they put me in gymnastics because it was padded.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart parenting.
And so from the start at 3 years old, were you head and shoulders above everybody? Were you just an amazing gymnast and they were like, wow, you really have talent? Or is it because natural?
Yeah, we talk about the God gift.
Yeah, like,
we talk about athletes absolutely. That are God given ability. When they get in a sport, you just know they're good. Were you just better than everybody?
No. I think I had a God given talent in gymnastics by some standard, but I wasn't the best by any means. I just loved gymnastics more than anyone else, and so I worked harder than a lot of the other people.
That's what we talk about all the time too. Yeah. It's like you have a certain amount of God-given talent, but all that work is what puts you above everyone else. Like,
I think there was a lot of people that were a lot more talented than I was, but they didn't have that passion for it that pushed them, you know, farther in the sport than I.
I think some people that have more of the God-given talent, they take it for granted and they think they're just going to coast on their abilities and they don't work as hard as the person that loves the sport but still has some God-given ability, and that's mm-hmm. what you say you have. What about your parents when you're going to these meets, and are they putting a lot of pressure on you, or is it really like, hey, we're just here to watch, and if you do good, that's you. If you do bad, we still love you.
My parents were the farthest from like stage parents you could possibly find. They were like Midwestern, blue collar, nice. And all they wanted was for me to be at home with them. I'm an only child, and they
they tried to get you to quit yeah. all the time.
Oh, all the time. Every time I came home from practice, they'd be like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Like, we can go shopping. We can do anything else but gymnastics." And I think it made me a better gymnast just because I knew the pressure wasn't coming from them. It was coming from myself.
Because the Alabama starting quarterback, Tua mm-hmm. Tagovailoa, we talked about this mm-hmm. earlier this week, he did an interview and he said when he had a bad game as a kid, his dad would beat him with a belt. And so as an athlete, when you hear that, would you go back to gymnastics? Let's say you came home and you missed something on the vault. What is that called? The
yeah. pole vault.
Yeah. No, ask her.
The
pole
vault. Is that what it's called? The vault. Okay.
Not the pole
vault. Not a pole vault.
Excuse track and field. So, yes. My bad.
That one bar.
Well, I was gonna call it the pommel horse, but that's the guys when they swing back and forth.
Hey, good job, though.
Yeah. Good job, coach.
I watched yeah. my gymnastics. Guys, I went to gymnastics.
Coach,
we all watched
the Olympics.
No, you didn't go to gymnastics when you were a kid.
When I was young, we had it for one of our gym classes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And like that, PE.
Yeah.
There was gymnastics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you mess up on a vault and you come home, your parents were never like, oh, if they were to have been like, oh, that's a spanking or you're grounded for messing up, would that have been it? Like, I'm done?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially in gymnastics, you're such a young kid. I mean, if you have pressure from your parents, you lose all passion for the sport. It becomes more of a chore than it does like a joy. And my dad had this weird tradition where anytime something went wrong, I would come home and he would make me French toast. So he was like the opposite.
Love it. Dang, you have like the best parents ever.
No, yeah. Best parents ever.
Your best yeah. parents that ever. I mean, awesome. They seem like just so supportive and fun. Right now, guys, we have Sean Johnson, Olympic gold Sean medalist. Johnson. That's why I said Sean Johnson.
No, I'm just saying Sean Johnson.
Yeah, the Sean Johnson.
Because it was crazy. When we were in college and stuff like that, and even younger, you were like a household name. You were the biggest gymnast mm-hmm. name there was. Like,
thank
that's just
you.
So
in the
crazy.
World,
dude. It's thank so crazy you. That we got a podcast to the point where we can have guests like this, to the point where she was a household name. That is so crazy. Like, my mom knows who you are.
My mom will freak out when I tell her.
Dude,
that's
and my mom,
on the podcast.
And but it's not like in person, it's just it's normal, you know what I mean? But back in the day, like, this is crazy right now.
Yeah,
I mean.
Sort of like thank when I was you. When I Dominique Muciano was my age, mm-hmm. and I watched her, and I told my parents when she was in the Olympics, I said, we have to move to Houston because I think I'm gonna fall in love with her and marry her. And it didn't happen.
Are you just changing the name, Dominic, when it was really Sean Johnson?
No, because she's a lot younger than okay, I am. Okay. Sean Johnson's younger than I am. Okay. I am 37.
Just checking.
That would be a little creepy.
Yeah, just checking. You're pretty creepy sometimes.
No,
I was just checking.
Literally, Dominique Muciano and I think, are the same age. And so when she was in the yeah. Olympics, I was 14 or 15 years old. And I was like, man, she lives in Houston. How we got to move.
You know, that is good, though, that I said, it was awesome. We looked up to you instead of saying, like, oh, we had crushes on you when we were in college. That would have been creepy. Huh?
Very creepy.
Glad I didn't
say
that.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Glad
it's okay.
I didn't say that.
When you make the Olympics, at what age did you start dreaming that you could be an Olympian?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I ever believed I could be an Olympian. I mean, in all honesty, I remember watching the Olympics when I was probably 6, 7, 8 years old and thinking, I really want to go to the Olympics, like any kid dreams of. But in gymnastics, all the way up until Olympic trials and even at the Olympics, I would stand on a podium and be like, I don't deserve to be here. I don't know how I'm here, but I don't know. I would be starstruck by the person standing next to me. I still don't understand how it happened. I just found myself there.
Can I ask a question, Coacher?
Yeah, of
okay,
course.
Okay, so you're used to adrenaline, like with the Olympics.
Yes.
That you're on TV, crazy adrenaline, and then you also did Dancing with the Stars. I mean, semi-adrenaline, because it's in the moment.
Yes.
You got to do something you're not amazing at.
Yes.
So what do you do a hit for adrenaline now?
What?
Like, what I'm saying is,
do you do a hit? Of like,
what?
A hit of what?
What I'm saying is, when you go to Vegas, do you maybe, do you got to gamble? Do you got to get
oh,
that
do
adrenaline?
You have something?
Are you
that
doing some extreme sports? I'm so curious about adrenaline.
And if it's drugs, don't even mention it. Not even.
I was like, what direction are we going here? Yes, I feel like you get addicted to adrenaline. And I think I just get it from, like, working out and
okay.
doing crazy things. I jump out of planes and stuff.
Oh, do you skydiving
and
stuff?
Oh, I love it.
What?
I'm wow. an adrenaline junkie. Like,
okay.
So, my dad taught me how to, like, BMX, and, like, I love adrenaline junkie
You almost
stuff.
Have to be able to, in the moment, do the gymnast stuff. You almost have to kind of be a junkie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, adrenaline.
I mean, the beam's only 4 inches wide. and it's right. 4.5 feet off the ground.
It's the, that's crazy. The scariest thing. When I watch the Olympics and I watch the beam, it freaks me out because they do the flips with no hands, and I'm just like, oh, and I cringe. And when they fall, then it's really bad.
It makes me feel the same way. Like, I don't even know how I did it. I don't want to do it ever again.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
You would not even get up there and do a cartwheel on that?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
Coacher, why do you think I said I don't ever throw a baseball anymore? When I left high school, I haven't thrown a baseball since then. Because you don't want to go back to it. You're over it.
Yeah. Okay, coaches, high school, I've told you the same. Olympic gold medalist. A little bit different Coacher, there, buddy.
I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying I just put the middle way, guys. I set the ball down.
Sean, were you ever at house parties and like everyone's like drinking and like, oh, Sean, do one of your tricks for everyone. Did you ever like bust out of like a trick?
A not trick, really. A move? I mean, everybody asks me to flip at parties, so there's like
how annoying does that get?
That's so dumb.
It's weird because it's like if you find like a track and field person, you're like not trying to race. Well, people probably try to race them actually.
Let's go on the street. Let's race. Yeah.
So whenever I show up, people are like, "Flip, just flip," and it just doesn't work like that.
So going to school growing up, were you?
You didn't go. You had to do homeschool, right?
I actually did public school. I was the only one on our team.
That is I remember this
because they said that she kept a normal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Which how weird was that to be training with the Olympic team and go back to your normal school? Did people treat you differently? Were you the star of your school, or were you just another kid?
I was actually just another kid, but it was like the best kept secret I've ever kept in my entire life. Nobody in my school knew I was a gymnast.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Until they watch TV and you're all over the world.
Pretty much.
Hey, dude, isn't that Sean Johnston?
Dude, she's in my chemistry class.
I'm pretty sure I copied off her algebra test last week. Like, she never mentioned she was going to the Olympics.
Dude, isn't she in second period English with us?
I was wondering why she had she was absent last week.
I love that. So you're training to be an Olympian, and they're just like after school smoking cigarettes and living their pointless lives, and you're doing something that is unbelievable.
Pointless lives.
It was, in general. It was an interesting high school experience for me, just because I was a teacher's pet. I loved school. I didn't really have many friends. I was very shy.
And you never really partied, though. You couldn't.
Not
have.
Really.
Okay, that's
no,
what
she
I thought.
Can't. Yeah. She's training for the Olympics,
I
man.
I started getting drug tested at 12, so... Yeah, no.
So as a 12-year-old, how does that work as a drug test? They can just show up at any time and say, hey...
Literally at any time, at any place, whenever they
But I don't know about you guys. That would be the most stress-free time, 12 years old. Like, I didn't even know what a drug was.
No, yeah. I understand that, but as a 12-year-old, do you understand what that is? They show up. Does your parents have to be present for them
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us the weirdest spot where they just come and you say, drug test.
Oh, my
test.
Gosh. Weirdest... I mean, they showed up in, like, the middle of the night at our house once. Ooh. It was, like, 3 a.m. They knock on the door, and it's, like, drug testing. It's like, are you kidding? I'm 12.
Is this a nightmare? What's happening?
I mean, in China, during the Olympics, we got drug tested a lot, and it was always weird experiences. But
so I want to talk about the Olympics. Like, when you go to the Olympics, and do you walk in the opening ceremonies?
For sure.
Actually, USA Gymnastics is one of the only ones that doesn't walk through opening ceremonies because we compete the next morning.
Oh.
I know. That sucks. I got to walk through closing, though.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Do you stay? Because a lot of athletes, they just leave after their event and they don't stay for the closing ceremonies, all that. But since you didn't walk in the open, you walk in the finish. What's the feeling like when you walk in there? And do you wear your gold medal around your neck?
You don't wear your medal, but it is the coolest feeling in the world because you have every country, every sport. And you're all like best friends somehow because you relate on a level that not many people can. And walking through closing and seeing like the flame be put out and all the flags and all the people, it's pretty cool. It's like the first time you can take a deep breath of fresh air and relax.
I have a question because we talk about you know, silver and bronze and all that.
Oh, good. Yes. I was going to ask this.
Okay. So this is we brought this up before in Lunchbox and I've had this conversation about like, what's the point of getting a silver and a bronze? Like, you've gotten both. You've gotten a gold medal and a silver medal.
Yes.
Numerous silvers, like 3.
Right. So what does it feel like to be up there with a silver? Like, are you kind of like, screw this? Like, why am I even up here? I didn't win the gold. Or are you just like, no, I'm happy I won the silver. What's that feeling like?
So we all train for gold. Everyone trains to win. You don't train to lose.
Correct.
But you train to win the game.
Okay, guys, it's a question. I'm asking a question.
And I trained my entire life with the mentality that I wanted to win the Olympics. And I went into the Olympics undefeated, and that's what I was striving for. I ended up coming in second in, like, my big event, which was the all-around. And I remember the ring bearer, or, like, ring bearer.
That's the little kid in the wedding.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey.
The metal
She's
bearer.
Like, and then the flower girl.
She's got the
right
pillow.
words are really hard for me you're today, guys. The medal bearer put the silver medal around my neck, and as he did, he said, "I'm so sorry."
And, no,
get out of here!
Yeah, right. And I remember, like, my whole life essentially changed in that one moment because I was at the Olympic Games. I had just won a silver medal, so I was second best in the entire world, and I felt so proud of myself. But I had someone basically say, "You're a failure," and then I kind of got past that moment and then went on to like media. And the very first question I was asked was, how does it feel to lose? And it just switches your entire mindset because in that moment, I didn't lose anything. I won a silver medal for my country. And it was the greatest feeling. Like there was nothing more I could have done. And I couldn't have been prouder for the girl who won first because she was United States. And I was like, oh, crap.
Because you want to hate her.
Why can't she be from China?
Yeah. I was like, of course, it's USA. So it is a weird feeling. I never thought I would have wanted a silver medal, but I wouldn't have traded it for a gold at that moment because there's nothing more I could have done.
As the team, you won a team silver, right? Mm-hmm. Like you guys won silver. Are you still like, championship teams, like you see the Red Sox, the Patriots, things like that.
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
The Villanova Wildcats.
Yes. Are you still close to those girls to this day? Or is it sort of like you go your separate ways and, hey, we were a team for that silver medal and that trip to the Olympics and now we're just kind of acquaintances.
No way they talk still.
We're best inseparable friends.
Wow.
We've all been in each other's weddings. We all are a part of each other's children's lives. We're like, yeah, we're inseparable. But we started training when we were like 6 years old and... Yeah, I mean,
you grew up together.
We grew up together.
Pretty crazy.
We were little kids together.
Do all you guys have Olympic tattoos?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't know if I've seen every Olympic athlete have a tattoo, yeah. But I mean, I've seen a number of them.
It was a little weird because we were all 16 when we got them.
Oh yeah.
So we had to have like parental consent. We had to like make sure they were hidden because it's not technically legal and all this stuff.
Now, is there any hesitation at that point? Like, I never really wanted to have a tattoo. Like, I just don't really feel it. Or are you just like, no, this is the biggest accomplishment in my life so far. Like, this
is kind of like a rite of passage. Like, there's a tradition in USA. Olympic teams.
Oh,
where
you got to get the tat?
It's kind of a tradition. Everyone does it.
Lochte has one?
Dude, you know Michael Phelps has one?
Lochte for sure has a couple.
How does Shawn Johnson at 16 go to her parents and be like, Mom, Dad, listen, I know you love me. You let me train for the Olympics. You've let me travel across the world. But now I want you to let me get a tattoo.
They actually had no problem with it. Well, I mean, had it been anything else,
sure,
they would have
like
been like, no way.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, fine. Like, it's the Olympic rings. And it's the size of a quarter, guys.
Where is it at?
On my hip.
See, that is awesome.
I knew you were going to ask that. I purposely didn't ask that.
Would you mind if I saw
No, because her husband's probably going to be listening to this. That's awkward. And my wife does not want to be looking at her.
Dude, I figured
just
she was going to bring her husband in here. He's going to be staring us down the whole time. So he's a college football player.
No, he's a
professional football player.
So,
Ray,
when you come back from the Olympics, does your life change immediately? Totally different life.
Yeah.
Wheaties box, right?
Oh, you had endorsements like
it was
galore.
It was really weird. I my dream was to be an orthopedic surgeon, guys. It's really weird.
That's a great dream, though.
I thought
That's
I was
going
to come back from the Olympics, go to college, and just live this life of like a surgeon.
Yeah, just be a normal person.
A normal rich person.
And I came back, and nobody can prepare you for that. I was on like Letterman and Oprah, and I didn't even know who these people were at 16 years old. I was like, who's Letterman? Why am I on this show? Why is he? Yeah, I don't know. It was just weird.
So did you go to college?
I did. Yeah. I did. I deferred 7 years. So I went through like the whole chaos of what the Olympics brings. And then I ended up starting at Vanderbilt. I went to like Penn State Online. I went to Belmont, Lipscomb, just any school that would take an online course and
graduated.
Finished it. Yeah.
Props. So where does your degree say you graduated from? Or does it just say or just says lots of colleges.
Probably lots. I think it says Penn State, technically.
That's really cool. Yeah. So did you become instantly rich once you win? You come back from the Olympics, you get, you know.
Dude, the endorsements pile
you
up
win
for
silver,
sure.
But at 16 years old, you're just loaded with money?
It's actually a pretty huge misconception, guys.
What?
With gymnastics, because we are so young, we have to choose at a very, very young age if we want to take endorsements or if we want to go to college. So a lot of us defer that decision and refuse money for a very long time. And even at the Olympics, you don't really make a lot of money off of your medals. I mean, you might make a couple $1,000s off of like the prize money, but endorsements comes like years and years later, the actual money. Otherwise, you're incentivized with nothing but a gold medal.
Wait, so you mean you do the endorsements, but that money doesn't come till later?
Yes.
Whoa.
Because companies sign endorsements to your name, gambling that you will make them a gold medal. And if you don't make a gold medal, like if you don't win a gold medal, you don't make any money. So usually those deals don't come until later. And if they do, they're smaller and they get bigger.
Interesting.
Go on.
Have you ever priced the value of your medals just in case?
Dude, like, we got to go to a pawn shop.
Can we take you to a pawn shop right now?
I would love it.
Yes, I would love to go with you and be like, hey, I got this gold medal in the 2008 Olympics.
I've actually Googled it. People have sold, like auctioned off their medals
20,000?
Some of them have gone higher, some of them have gone lower. But if you actually like get it valued, it's not that expensive.
Right, but it's the person that won it. And yeah, that's what it is.
That is so crazy.
So where are your medals now?
Yeah, do you display them?
I can't tell you that. I'm joking.
You got to have them up on display in the house, right?
Like in the middle of the dinner table.
No,
I bet she
like
has them in a back room.
No,
yeah.
I knew it.
I said a back room.
I was going to say it's like the chandelier over your kitchen table. They're made of gold and silver medals.
So if anyone comes for dinner, they're just like, oh, look at those. What are those?
You know, she doesn't just have Olympic gold medals and silver medals. She has, you know, on the world championships, all these competitions, I'd have medals everywhere in my house to let everybody know, yep, I am badass.
My parents have the museum.
Do they?
Their house is a museum.
Is it weird for you when you walk in there and you see the shrine to you?
Yes, because I don't have anything in my house. I don't need it. I don't want it. Like,
that is so baffling that you work your whole 15 years until you're 15 years old, 16 years old, to win the Olympics. Right. And then when you get older, you just stick them in a sock drawer.
It's weird, though, because it's more, I mean, as cliche and cheesy as it sounds,
you're
it's
more
the experience.
Okay.
It's not the medal. Like, the medal is so cool, but, like, the memories
you
are
won
better.
A gold medal. Like, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Not the actual
cool.
medal.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I don't mean for this to be awkward, but I'm going to have to just bring this up because Lunchbox, and
you're
he
good?
Just talks a big game.
Okay.
And the fact that you're here, I just feel like this is a perfect...
Oh, I'll tell her.
No,
Sean
Johnson.
No. Go ahead.
Let me ask the question.
Okay.
Lunchbox claims that gymnastics / cheerleading /
ever put those in the same category.
Exactly right. Cheerleading is just a hobby.
A lot of sports, quotation sports, that don't contain a ball are not sports.
Well, we actually have to use our body. We can't rely on a ball.
Yes, I call it an athletic competition. You're athletes. You are athletes. I just think a sport is different.
Oh my gosh, you don't consider it a sport? Is that the whole argument here?
This is the argument.
Yes, John Johnson.
So please, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make it awkward, but please tell Lunchbox what you think about that.
I mean, I have never in my life heard someone not qualify gymnastics as a sport.
She's like,
you're talking about probably some of the most athletic individuals you'll ever meet.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds really weird because I'm not
talking
about
get it, girl.
No,
get
but
it.
You really defend
your sport.
You're a superior athlete. Yes, and it's an athletic competition. I just don't consider it a sport.
A sport has to have a ball.
Well,
see how stupid that sounds, Lunchbox.
Do you consider ping pong a sport?
Yeah.
Got him. No, she got him.
Have you seen the hand-eye coordination required to play ping pong?
Have you seen the coordination it takes to flip on a 4-inch beam?
Yes, it's impressive, and it's an athletic ability.
Hey, look her in the eye.
Yeah, dude. I'm not backing off because Sean Johnson's here. I'm not scared of my statement. I just don't think gymnastics is a sport. I think it's an athletic competition.
Okay. So you don't consider swimming a sport?
Oh, got him again.
Yeah. So if I brought Michael Phelps in here, you would argue with him and say, your activity is not a sport.
I would say swimming, could it be considered a sport?
Oh, my God.
It might be considered a sport because one of the reasons is...
Swimming is a sport, but
they have the floating balls to separate the lanes. Is that
that's polo.
No.
Because they're competing against other people in the lanes.
Yes, and you know who wins immediately. That is one of my things. One of my problems with gymnastics is...
Oh, you depend on a judge.
Yeah, you're depending on... You don't know who wins unless someone falls.
But every sport has subjectivity.
Yep.
Nah, baseball, you score more runs, you're the winner.
If you want to get into it, the subjectivity in every sport is determined by the politics. So if you really want to like break it down in basketball or football, look at the politics of the refs mm-hmm. or the owners mm-hmm. or how they like draft teams, mm-hmm. how much money they're paid.
Oh, come on.
The salary cap, if you want to spend the money, if you want to sign certain players. No, I get it.
Those aren't sports. Those are careers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
What do you mean? They're not sports. They're careers.
Gymnastics is a sport.
Look, we're going to agree to disagree. I still love you, Sean Johnson. I love you. So now you have a big event coming up in January, right?
New Year's Day, right?
New Year's Day.
Dog show.
The National AKC National Championship Dog Show presented by Royal Canine. Tell us more about you and your pup that are going to be competing in the World Championships.
You have a golden retriever?
I have a golden retriever, and he is not competing. He's not that elegant, guys.
Oh, okay. But he's on a beam.
Oh, you're just representing.
Hey, so she's got a dog that's in the National Dog Show.
It says, her golden retriever, Nash, representing the sporting group and hashtag Team Golden.
Okay.
So I thought she was competing. I thought she went from the balance beam to
the dog. Gets on the balance beam.
No, close. Not really. So Royal Canin, who's the sponsor of the AKC National Championship.
And he mispronounced Canin.
It's okay.
Oh my goodness.
they partnered with like 7 influencers or celebrities who have dogs. And we're like the ambassadors for the show.
And you're an influencer because you got crazy Instagram followers.
Evidently.
I don't think I have enough because I can't do the swipe up thing. I think to be an influencer, you got to be able to do like a website link. Can you link a website?
I don't know. Never tried
it. That is frustrating.
I bet you can. You can.
Yeah. That is frustrating.
Yeah, she's a baller.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that for anyone though. I don't understand why they put
you
got to
be an influencer.
Do you get paid to make Instagram posts?
For sure.
No comment. Okay, no, it's okay.
That's some of the endorsements that she was talking about. You have to wait till like years later.
That's why we're dumb. We Instagram for free. I've never been paid $1 to Instagram. Like that's how dumb we are, right?
So now that Sean, you're married.
Wait,
you're,
so what else about, who else is on this on
the
show?
Yeah, tell us about the show.
Well, the AKC National Championship is like 8,500 dogs that are competing for essentially like Olympic title. And it's on January 1st, but there's like different celebrities representing each category of the competition, encouraging people to watch.
And if we
I'm
turn
a
it
psychotic
on,
dog person,
we'll
though,
see you
so
on
like,
TV.
What do you
then?
Mean, psychotic dog person?
I would adopt every dog in the world.
Oh my gosh!
I know. Yeah, it's bad.
And you only have one?
Yeah, because my husband.
Oh, he doesn't like dogs?
Oh, he loves dogs.
There has to be someone in the marriage that has to, be like, no, we can't do that.
So where, like, do you take your dog everywhere you go?
Pretty much.
That's awesome.
He flies on planes with me.
Really?
He's small enough?
Well,
no.
Do you buy him a seat?
Or do you fly private?
Private.
Yeah.
There
Coach,
you go.
Coach, you don't have to have a seat on private. You just bring the dog on.
Yeah.
When and sometimes the dog's in the co-pilot seat. Like, all right, buy this dog.
Oh, man. So what is an everyday, now that you're retired and you're just living your life as a wife and dog mom, and what does a regular day entail for Sean Johnson? Do you go to the grocery store?
I absolutely go to the... Actually, we Instacart. That has, like, changed our life. You guys do that, right?
No,
we've tried it. Yeah, it's
Where you order online mm-hmm.
and they deliver the groceries.
They deliver it.
They deliver your groceries.
And now Walmart's going to try that too.
It's awesome.
It's a legit deal.
So we probably like have our groceries delivered. But my husband plays football. He and I kind of somehow have a career on social media, which is really weird but awesome. I do a lot of like motivational speaking and keynote lectures, and still coach every once in a while.
So you do coach gymnastics.
I do like clinics. I don't like have a gym where I
have
don't
you
want
thought
to
about
that.
No, you know, no.
It's too serious.
No.
Serious. I mean, the amount of intensity it takes to train a 12-year-old to get to the Olympics is not the side of the sport that I want to be a part of. I like the fun.
Hey, and when you're doing your motivational speaking, are you talking to gymnasts or like high schoolers?
Anyone. I've talked
that's
to
pretty dope.
I have a keynote lecture at Stanford coming up.
Whoa,
which I'm really
that
excited.
Is so cool.
I know, I'm intimidated about
nah,
that.
Nah, don't be intimidated.
I've talked to John Deere before, guys.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so just, anyone.
Who's the coolest person that you've met? Like coming back and you're like, I've always wanted to meet this person, and you got to meet him and you're just like, wow.
My probably biggest starstruck moment was it was in Beijing. I had just finished competing. I was sitting at like a restaurant that was completely empty with my parents, watching on TV.
Oon?
What?
No, shut up. Right. No, stop.
And I like turned and looked, and Vince Vaughn was sitting next to me.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I
in Beijing.
Out. I freaked out.
And did you say something, or you just go, ha, 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 ha?
Oh, I pretty much did that, but he was like, oh, congratulations, I watched you. And I could not for the life of me figure out what he was talking about. Because I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that Vince Vaughn watched me compete.
Yeah, and along with the whole world.
Yeah, that's weird.
Did you tell him, like, oh, yeah, I've watched you too? Wedding Crashers, like, legit.
Yeah, pretty much. As a 16-year-old kid.
Like, you were so funny in that movie. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Like, if you think about it, she's met a ton. Like, I bet you've met every celebrity. Like, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
What? This is crazy. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
Michael
nuts.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Yes! Oh my goodness.
Michael Jordan is amazing.
Well, I got one.
Tell us more.
Like, so, I bet. Wait, hold on. Stop.
Tell us that. Tell us more.
Michael Jordan is amazing. Explain.
He was like, we were on a cruise together doing some like athletic event where we were like ambassadors for a cruise ship, which is weird. And I remember like sitting next to him, and he was just the most down to earth individual that like shook everyone's hand and talked to every single person that came up to him. He was just like really cool. And I was like, you're Michael Jordan.
You
don't have to do that.
Do you have pictures of you with, like, do you take, like,
yeah,
is it
people.
Weird for you when you see Michael Jordan to be like, can I get a picture with you? Or is it just more you just take the experience, sort of like you said with the Olympics?
The really sad part, like, looking back, I don't have a picture with anybody. Just because, like, yeah, I don't want to impose.
She's too afraid to ask.
And I respect them, and I'm like, I don't want to, like, be a fan because I truly respect you, so I'm just gonna experience.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, she doesn't need those pictures. She's a keynote speaker at Stanford, dude. I mean, she's going to do
that's
these
true.
Speeches.
They should want pictures with her.
Yes, like she's a big, she's an important deal too. So it's like famous people meeting famous people. I guess they don't ask for that kind of stuff. Like,
I really want to. I'm just chicken. Oh.
Like one time, Sean, we were at this party and Jon Bon Jovi was there,
amazing.
And no one talked to him. Everyone everyone stared but left him alone.
Yeah,
not Lunchbox though. So he goes up and he's like, Jon Bon freaking Jovi, takes a picture with him. Next thing you know, the whole party's taking pictures with him.
And
it's
he
like,
left.
You were
it's
that
like
guy.
He cut that line where it's just like, all right, now you can go approach him.
Yeah,
and he left.
I'm not at that lifestyle yet where I meet these celebrities all the time.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
He's not.
I hosted an event like a week ago, and I had a whole section on Lunchbox.
Well, yes, you were hosting the St. Jude.
You were
Jude.
A celebrity in the show, okay? You're there.
I get it, but I'm talking
I get
like,
that.
But I'm not at the level where I hang out with them all the time. Like you say, you were on a cruise with Michael Jordan. You know, you've met Oprah. You've met...
Well, can we talk about the difference here? Your work ethic. Like, you're a hard worker, right? Like, you've worked hard your whole life. Lunchbox, his work ethic is, they can come to me if they want me. So no one ever comes to
him. That's a great concept, though.
I do think that way, but
hey,
I did
work. I showed up, guys.
Yes,
yeah. I'm waiting for the offers. I'm here. Yeah.
I did tell my mom after college because I didn't apply for any jobs, and she was like, hey, aren't you going to start applying for jobs? I said, Mom, they'll find me. That's what I told her because I thought...
Hey. It works.
And 20 years later, he still has that mantra.
Like. I really thought my whole career path was I was going to be on The Real World on MTV.
Oh, okay.
And then
reality
after that,
TV.
Then my career would take off.
Promising, right?
Because when I was younger, I thought these Real World people were super famous. And now that I got older and I didn't make it, I realized, okay, I'm okay right now. That was still my one dream.
It's probably better you weren't on Real World.
I don't know. Some of those people have made it. They've made
some?
It.
Some? Like, would you maybe like
Do
one out of
Do you
want to
be known for
them?
Being on Real World?
I mean, if it's a start. I mean,
okay.
I can't name you one person.
I know
on Real
because
World.
You didn't watch it,
right? But I know Sean Johnson is. Like, that's a celebrity.
Well, sorry,
dude.
I wasn't an Olympic medalist. I didn't win, you know, the silver medals and gold medals and world championships. I'm not that good.
Quickly, Sean, I want to ask you just.
Dude,
before,
we booked it for 30 minutes.
I know.
Minutes.
Before we let you go,
we're good.
You were proposed to at Wrigley. What was the purpose of being proposed? Are you a big Cubs fan?
Not really.
So it was just being Wrigley. Well, so
was,
two-part question. So that's
yes.
the first part, and the second part is like, what? So were you on the big screen, and is that weird?
No. She was on
weird.
The field.
I know. Okay, go.
So the USA National Championships was being hosted in Chicago that year, and I, on behalf of USA Gymnastics, was there to kind of like promote to Wrigley Field, like make sure you come to the event. So I threw out the first pitch, which I can't throw a ball, guys. I can throw a football, not
so
a
you're
baseball.
Not an athlete, according to Lunchbox.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not what I said. I said she's athletic.
I threw the first pitch, and my husband comes walking out onto the field and proposed in the middle of the field.
You had no idea it was happening. No
idea. Zero. Like, my husband is a very private individual, never do something on a big stage, and he did it in the middle of Wrigley Field. So
that is,
it was amazing.
But yeah. Had you guys talked about getting engaged? Did he know what kind of ring to get you, or did he just go out on his own, get a ring, and say, boom?
We had kind of talked about it, but he was leaving the morning after I threw out the first pitch for training camp for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so, like, the night before he leaves for training camp, yeah. I never would have thought he would have proposed, but.
That's awesome.
Do you want to hear a Lunchbox proposal story? It's really
yes,
cool.
Please.
Real quick.
Okay, so we were living here in Nashville. I was living here in Nashville. My now wife was living in Austin, and my brother was getting married, and we were on the phone kind of chatting about my brother's upcoming wedding.
Okay.
And so my wife said, well, maybe we should get married. And I said, are you serious? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay. And so then her mom, and her sister, they went and picked out a ring. And when I went to town for my brother's bachelor party, I went to the store with her and I paid for it. And then I put it on her finger. And then she had to drive me to the airport because I had to get back and get to.
And that was the proposal.
That's the proposal.
I mean,
how romantic.
So romantic.
So to recap, she proposed to him. He wasn't even in town. He drove into town.
Like, yeah,
she picked out
it.
The ring. He got yeah. his credit card and paid for it. And they were engaged.
I guess
to be
we're
married.
Getting married now.
Yeah.
I got another question real quick.
Yes.
Last one. Okay. So do you go to a lot of the major things like the Super Bowl, the championships? Go to a lot of those?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I love
dang.
It. I live for athletics, though.
So like the recent World Series, were you able to go to any of those games?
I did not go to those.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
But how does that work? Does Sean Johnson?
Do you contact somebody
exactly.
and they provide the tickets?
Or do you
so,
have
so
to
So say you're interested
tickets.
In like the Final Four with college football. There's four teams left. If you maybe wanted to go see a game, you contact a person and they get you the tickets.
Yeah, kinda.
That's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
Dang.
We need a person like that.
Yeah.
We don't. We usually just kind of get on social media and tweet them directly. Like, can we have tickets
hey,
to your show?
That's how you do it anymore, though. Like,
yes.
Really?
Exactly. If, like, your people can't do it anymore, like, I would just tweet
just
at
tweet
someone.
Them.
Be like, NFL, can I get tickets?
Put them on blast.
What do you have team? Do you have favorite teams
yes.
that you cheer for?
Favorite football team.
Oh, it's hard because my husband plays him.
I was
going to
say, it's whoever her husband plays
my
for.
My favorite was the Raiders, by far. I know it's wrong.
Okay. Do we have a cricket sound?
No, that's okay.
It was like
I
the
know,
most,
we're kidding with you.
From like an NFL wife's perspective, it was like the best team to be a part of.
They were just awesome. Like
they were amazing.
Did you ever meet Marshawn Lynch?
I did.
Okay. Is he just like
he
beast
tried
mode?
To hit on me in front of my husband.
That's what I'm talking about.
Beast
he's
mode.
So crazy
wait,
beast mode.
Wait a minute.
Beast
he
mode?
Tried to hit on you in front of your husband.
Dude, that's
was,
beast mode.
Because
was,
he doesn't give a.
I was working at like as media at the at Super Bowl when he was with the Seahawks. Or is he still with the Seahawks?
He's the Raiders now.
Now Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
But he's hurt and stuff.
But that's okay. But go
but
ahead.
But he basically tried to hit on me when I was, like, interviewing him. And then he later became a teammate with my husband. And my husband called him out on it. And he's like, I'm so sorry,
I'm
bro.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
That is awesome. What is
beast
it like
mode.
With NFL wives? Do you guys all hang out when the, like, are you guys friends? Or is it kind of awkward? Or is it?
No, you're friends. Because your life is just absolute chaos. So, I mean, we've been on 8 teams so far. And you have to literally up and move your entire life in a day. And so all the wives are just kind of like hanging on for dear life.
How hard is it to be the wife of a now professional athlete? Now that you're retired, he's a professional athlete. Do you just sort of whatever his schedule is it or you just stay here and wherever he goes, you just wait until the season's over?
No, I usually go with him everywhere he goes. And honestly, it works really well for us just because I had my moment. I learned kind of all the sports psychology side of it and the experiential side of it back when I was competing. And now I feel like I can like help him and support him in his.
And when, if he moves mm-hmm. teams, so he was on the Chiefs, he mm-hmm. off the Chiefs. Do you burn all your Chiefs gear?
No, I keep it. That's why I can't pick teams, guys. I'm like,
that's all. Okay. What about baseball? Do you have a favorite baseball team?
Well, I feel like I have to root for the like, Cubs now.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good team to root for.
It
I
is.
Mean.
What about
college? I grew up in Iowa. We had like
you had
the
Iowa
Cubs a feeder team.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just wonder.
Cool.
Or you just like sports in general, and you just like going to the games because you can do that, and you're Sean Johnson.
Ooh, real quick, you come in with like a Nirvana T-shirt. Are you a music fan?
I am.
So living in Nashville, like,
yes.
Or do you go see a lot of music? Or
we
oh,
do.
Okay, wait. Do you ever see celebrities at the like the grocery store, and do you bug them?
I definitely see them. I've never gone up to them.
Do they
ever.
Bug you?
Not really. I feel like Nashville's really interesting that way because like I've lived in Los Angeles and New York, and where everyone will go up to anyone. But here in Nashville, everyone, like, leaves you alone.
They really do, yeah.
Yeah, it's really kind of nice.
Like, I saw Faith Hill and her daughter the other day at Whole Foods. And like,
what? Are you kidding me? You didn't go up to them?
No.
Oh,
they're shopping.
Like, Keith and Nicole are always at Whole Foods, and no one goes up to them. I think it's awesome.
Didn't one of you guys see Steven Tyler at Whole Foods?
Is that he's always at the gym that I go to.
Yeah. Oh, I know what gym you go to then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what gym she goes
Which
to.
Which one?
I'm not going to say it. Here's the address.
Here's the social security number.
Let's just say I play soccer there in the winters. There's a soccer league there. So, okay. Yes, I know exactly which gym she goes to.
That's Sean, it was so much fun having you.
You're
the best, bro. Absolutely.
First guest, dude.
First guest.
You
I'm so
always
honored.
Remember your first, dude.
I mean, I can't that believe it. That is so cool.
Why do you always make
that
it
That is amazing.
And so don't forget, check her out. The AKC National Championship presented by Royal Canin returns to the Animal Planet as a four-hour special on Monday, January 1st, 2019 at 6 p.m. Eastern. Sean Johnson, thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Now flip on out of here.
We're going to stop this, then we're going to come back in 2 seconds. Next thing you hear will be us talking again.
Is there going to be 2 seconds of nothing?
No, there'll be 1 second of nothing.
And we're back.
Man, that was awesome, guys. Guys, that was... What are you doing?
That was awesome, dude. We landed a guest. We're just a crappy little podcast.
Not just any guest. Like, I mean... She was a legit.
Dude, that's
like,
she was a
interview.
Worldwide dude, Letterman, superstar. Oprah, all those people land her. We landed her.
I specifically remember her, like, her press interviews, like, all of her stuff during the Olympics. Like, she was such a likable character that everyone wanted to talk to. Like, she said she was on Letterman and all that. I remember all those appearances because she was like, yeah, Sean Johnson, she's so cool. She was, like, America's sweetheart or something, I think they labeled her as.
And like, her personality was great. She just rolled with it. She talked. It wasn't like... She was willing to talk about anything, and she had a personality. Sometimes you get those interviews, and they're just like, yeah, the Olympics were fun.
And then you got to imagine you walk into a room
Coach,
with three dudes.
She didn't walk in with anybody.
No, she came by herself.
She went in solo. Like, what a baller.
Yeah.
Dude, I want my daughter to be exactly like her.
Respect.
She was amazing.
Well, listen to the way she was raised, dude.
And she's like, I saw your boss's parking spot. I was going to park there, but then I was like, I won't. Dude, I'm like, I wish you would have. That'd been hilarious.
Man, that's so fun.
I know.
Dude, and she knew sports. She argues with lunch. She doesn't even know the dude, and she just argues with him.
Hey, sorry, dude. I had to bring that question up.
I was going
to
bring it up.
Okay.
I was already ready. Listen, I don't run from my takes. I was going to bring it up and ask her how she felt.
Well,
it's
a different situation when you're on the mics talking to your buddies about it, and then when you have the athlete in front of you, you're just like it's a different thing.
You're saying, like, if we brought in an athlete for Eddie, and we're like, okay, Eddie, tell him what you always say.
He would never call him stupid.
No, he would say
you would never call a UFC fighter stupid in person.
So you guys just do it for the money, huh? He would never do that in person.
I would tell a UFC fighter, like, as long as there's security here, like, and people to protect me, I would tell him, like, you're not as smart as most people. Because you're fighting for a living.
Okay, here we go. No, you wouldn't.
And then I would also tell football players and NBA players, I would tell them, you just do it for the money. You know you do it for the money.
But anyway, I mean, that was great. That was so fun. It was so fun. I'm geeking out. And we got a picture. We did get a picture because we had to. And so, I mean, let's talk about the NFL this weekend.
Dude, it is a jam-packed NFL weekend. Like, right now, I think there's 3 weeks left. So this is where the teams are making their move. There's so many teams still in the hunt. There's the division leaders. There is a great amount of teams still in the hunt. Like, the only teams ruled out, boys, are the Giants and the Raiders. Other than that, everybody has a chance right now in the NFL. The Titans, can I please take back what I said 3 weeks ago about them being the biggest disappointment because they're not making the playoffs? Boys, I think they're making the playoffs.
They might, yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens just have to lose. The Titans have a great chance to make the playoffs. They got the Giants, I think, the Redskins, and then the Colts.
I don't think the Jets have a chance to make the playoffs.
Okay, so less than five, which is, at this point in the season, the fact that there's that many teams all packed up, and I saw in the hunt to Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 5-7.
I don't think the Browns have a chance to make the playoffs. The Bengals don't have a chance to make the playoffs.
Less than five. Keep it at that. What I'm saying is the teams are all clustered together. You couldn't ask for anything like that. And then also, if you want to think about the home games we're going to get in the playoffs, Cowboys, Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the Saints, the Rams in L.A.
The 49ers probably won't make the playoffs, neither will the Cardinals.
Okay, so maybe it's eight teams.
I don't think the Packers are going to make the playoffs. The Lions will not make the playoffs.
There's teams that are eliminated, but what he's saying is there's still a lot up for...
Freaking idiot.
There's four games left.
Well, do you look at every division, though? It's just like the hunt is, yes, for like two teams in every division.
You couldn't
division.
Ask for anything more than that. 3 weeks left, a great number of teams still there for it. Is it?
Yeah, so this is week 14.
Well, I guess I was ruling it out because the Titans already played.
Right,
the Titans have three.
So I don't know how the Titans, it matches up, but the Ravens are only a half game behind Pittsburgh for the division lead. And the Titans are fighting for that last wild card. Because
not going to win the division.
No, I don't think they can. I don't know what the record is. But
no, Colts are way too far ahead.
You have the Chargers are going to get in with one of those wild cards, or they're going to win their division. Because I think they're one game behind the Chiefs, maybe.
Yeah, they're one game behind.
And so
they play each other this week.
Next week, not this week.
Oh, next Thursday.
Yes, it's next week. So this is a big game. This is an interesting spot for the Chiefs because they play the Ravens, who have a good defense, but then they also have that look ahead. Like, next game is against Chargers. Are they focused on the Ravens, or are they thinking ahead to next week when they play the Chargers?
And they're not just the playing the Ravens. They're playing the Ravens with this new kid, Lamar Jackson, who's balling out.
Who is terrible, and all he does is run the ball. But they're winning games. And what have they been doing? How have they won games? By running the ball.
That's all. They don't throw it that much?
Not really. And when he does, he's not very accurate. But who has the worst rushing defense in the NFL? The Kansas City Chiefs. So what are they going to do this weekend? They're going to run
Rudolph.
So then you have
good tie into Christmas.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Rams going to Chicago to play the Bears. Another one of those high flying offenses going against a solid defense. This is when we find out.
Trubisky.
I don't know. I think he's going to play.
That's almost a must see game. I hope
Sunday night football.
I knew it.
Yep,
I knew it was a good one.
Flexed into Sunday night. Can't wait.
I love that flex. Otherwise, you got late in the season, crappy games. You're watching two terrible teams. I want marquee games. That's what we get.
That's what we get. And last night, the Titans, the Jaguars had nothing to play for. They have nothing to play for. So you kind of expected that. And what happens on Thursday night, the home team covers the spread. That's just the way it goes.
That's facts. And 12, you said that.
12-3-1 now on the season on Thursday night football.
Predict 30-9, though. I mean, that was quite the score.
Coach, 30-9. It should have been about 45-9. They gave up at the 2-yard line twice.
Well, I mean, the Titans have trouble. Like, there are certain things. Like, I mean, Derrick Henry, again, spectacular, but he's not like that every week.
No,
like,
he's not, because I didn't play him in fantasy because my.
I don't think anyone played him in fantasy because his record's bad.
You didn't play him in fantasy.
Coach,
you can't play
him. If you play fantasy, you look at Derrick Henry, there's no way you're going to start him unless you have absolutely nothing.
And you know what Derrick Henry does? Every time he carries the ball, he falls forward for 2 yards.
But
he's that tall.
I got to tell you, after last night's game, I loved the fact that the whole stadium was cheering for Derrick Henry to go back in and score one more touchdown. I think he had, a total of four?
He had four.
Wanted number five. Let's go. They're at the 3-yard line. Let's go. Bring him in. He goes, now let Lewis take one more. I'm going to sit back. And then they go, 3rd and 3 or whatever. They don't make it. All right, send Derrick in there. Let's get that 5th touchdown.
So close.
Stop him at the 1-yard line.
Close. I can't believe you guys kept watching.
I had money on it. I mean, that's the only reason I watch.
You had the under.
I had the under, correct.
Which went over.
By two points. And that's kind of why I kept watching. And then I had side bets going on.
That's why you watched it.
Yeah, that's the only reason. Because once it was 20-2 or something like that, 21-2, whatever it was, I was like, I'm out.
Nobody outside of Nashville watched that game past the middle of the third unless you had money on it or you lived in the residential area.
Yeah, I don't even think you watched it after halftime. You saw that the Jaguars had no chance. It was 16-2. I was like, all right, this is terrible.
But guys, isn't that funny? That why make a thing? I understand. I don't know. I never see coaches or anyone listen to the crowd and say, all right, what do you think?
Like, you think Vrabel
the last
to
time
him?
I saw that was in Rudy, where they're like, Rudy, and the coach is like, screw it, send him in. Like,
you think Vrabel did that?
Vrabel was talking to him like on the sideline. Did you watch it, coach?
No, but he didn't listen to the crowd. Coach, the crowd did not influence Vrabel.
You didn't watch it then.
I don't care.
No, can you believe me?
No.
That if you watch it, they're all talking to each other, smiling, say, should we do it? You can read their lips. Should we do it? But yeah, send him in. We'll talk to Derek. Vrabel, they have this all on camera. Vrabel goes to Henry and goes, do you want to go in? Henry's like, nah. He shakes his head like, nah, let him try. And then he's like, all right. He walks off. He's still smiling. They run the play. And then he looks at him again. He says, all right. He puts his helmet on. Coach, and the whole crowd is yelling, Henry, Henry, Henry. It was part of they're up by what, 20 whatever points. Like, send them in. The crowd wants it. Who cares? Send them in. That's what it was. I know you can disagree with me, but it was evident on TV that that's what it was. They listened to the crowd. They're there to please their fans. Send them in. Let's do 5 touchdowns.
Vrabel listened to the crowd, all right.
I mean, I've never.
Guys, what? Why wouldn't he?
Coach, at what point?
That's not it's how one, they do it. It's not how they do it.
It's 1 yard. Why wouldn't he? Let's make the fans happy. Send him in.
The fans just want a touchdown. They would have been happy if they would have gone crazy if Deion Lewis got in the end zone.
I really don't like how you're arguing when you didn't watch because they're yelling Henry.
Eddie, I am just telling you, professional sports.
Oh my goodness.
They don't like.
You're arguing me for no reason when everyone watching the game knows that they were saying Henry.
No, they
one
might
more.
Have been, but Vrabel did not do it just because the crowd said, "Hey, Henry, Henry,
Henry."
In my opinion.
So when Rudy was there and they were all chanting Rudy, he didn't say, "Screw it, coach, send him in," because they all want Rudy. Yes.
One time in the history of sports was Rudy. When I watch football, they don't sit there and go, I've never seen a coach, because of the crowd, put a player in. That's just not how they do it.
Okay, you're so smart. All right, next one.
That was it.
That's it?
There was only one NFL game.
I mean, really, like, next topic.
Hey, in college football, we're done right now.
No, Army-Navy.
Oh, okay, because there was a replay at the gym, and I was like, did Miami, the U, play last night? It must have been a replay game. Because I do the gym three.
ESPN Classics.
Yeah, no. It was, dude, ESPN, yeah, for some reason, is filling the wee hours of the morning with games that have already happened 2 weeks ago.
Coach, never go by the guide to see what's on. Like, go by Bovada. Go by the gambling site, because I guess.
Hey, because ESPN is just trying to fill space.
Yes. I'll randomly, it'll be like a Tuesday, and it'll be like the Chargers and the Raiders. I'll be like, oh, dang, I didn't know they were playing tonight. Tuesday night, this is repeats.
Or you go to the bar. Oh, that's awesome. Preds game. Afternoon hockey. Look in the upper right-hand corner. Replay. Okay.
Oh,
guys, can
okay.
we get somebody on the TV that's a replay? That game was last night. Get you every time.
Do you have locks this weekend? What do you got? What are you liking?
Dude, from what I've been seeing with the Cowboys, the experts, everybody is saying jump on the Cowboys at -3.5. Get on it right now before you get to that 4, before you get to that 5. They think the line's going to go even more. Cowboys are going to whitewash them. This is a huge game. The Eagles suck. The biggest letdown ever after a Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles, they play the Cowboys. Eddie, what's your take? You're a fan.
I mean, it's not my shut the door or anything, but I mean, yeah, the Cowboys will slaughter the Eagles.
Dude, I can't believe it's -3.5. Unless it's changed, that is an amazing line. I love that. I said the Titans, I go minus whatever it was, 5, and that was a lock. That was lock city. So I'm back to being hot. I'm back to being the lock guy. So have some confidence in me. Right now, when I'm looking at NFL, since I'm not doing Army-Navy, I ain't got nothing on that. Are you doing that as a lock?
I mean, I may do like a couple dollars on it, but I'm not shutting the door on that. Okay. I have one shut the door, and I'll tell you that in a second.
Okay. I am going. I want the line to be accurate. If it's moved to 4, I just don't want to say 3.5. I feel like Vegas moves that crap all the time, especially when it's one of those big-time games. And it was an early 3.5 earlier on in the week. That'll always change a hook here, hook there. Let's see. NFL... updated lines from, thank you guys, at Bovada. Absolutely. Here we go. The Dallas Cowboys are a -3.5. It stayed the exact same.
It's good.
Guys, here is my lock of the weekend. Dallas Cowboys at home, -3.5. Go ahead and lock it up.
It's a division game. It's going to be tough. But
it's
going to
be close. But
they will cover.
Now shut the door.
Oh, you want my shut the door? Guys, this is not for this weekend. It's not for next week. It's not even for this year. I was looking.
Excuse me?
I was looking under some of these futures bets. I found one that's a no-brainer. Will human beings set foot on Mars by 2025?
Oh, my gosh.
Guys.
You've lost your damn mind.
The answer is no. Here's the problem. It's -$4. So for every $1... You get like 25 cents or something. So you got to put the farm on it. Guys, we're not getting to Mars in the next 25 years.
I thought we just sent a ship up there.
No. And not in the next 25. We're not going to be there by 2025. We're not going to be there by 2040. Guys, put all of your money on no, we will not set a human foot on Mars by 2025. That's my shut the door.
Elon Musk literally just said he's going up in the next.
There's another
years.
One that says first organization to charter humans to Mars.
So,
SpaceX.
So his
Blue
lock
Origin?
Of the weekend we is have to, we had to wait 7 years for the results.
But you can lock it now.
You have lost your damn mind.
Guys, I just don't trust NFL anymore. I don't trust sports. I've lost so much money on all these sports gambling. Guys, the way to do it is make money on no human foot will set foot on Mars by 2025.
Oh my God.
Slam the door or shut the door.
Wow. I thought I'd seen it all, dude.
Shut it.
Nothing like for that $10 bet to pay off in 7 years. Just wait for it. But
No. You need more than $10 to make money on this one. Oh, you put it all in.
So bet the house.
Yeah.
And then, no, you're going to have 7 years to still live in that house.
Yeah, you, you do have. You have 7 years time to figure life out a little bit.
Dude, you're going to forget you even placed that bet. That's and 7 years is going to come around.
Guys, and you're going to already close your account and everything. And they're just going to keep your money.
Guys, do you don't think that's what the people that wrote Friends in Low Places, that's what it's like for them, man. They forgot they wrote Friends in Low Places because that was 25 years ago or 30 years ago. They go to the mailbox. Ha, look, another $5,000.
That's what that one's going to be like. Exactly. If it actually does hit, you're going to be shocked because for sure you ain't going to be paying attention for 7 years.
Merry Christmas in 2025. You're going to be like, oh, crap, I forgot I put a lot of money on this bet. Hey. Shut the door.
All right. I'm going to travel out east, and I'm going to go up in the cold.
Is this for this weekend or next year or what?
No, I'm going to do one this weekend, and I'm going to take a team that people are like, man, they're terrible. Why would you ever bet on this team?
Hockey game?
We are going to take the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, my. The Sabres.
The Buffalo Bills -3.5 at home against the New York Jets. The New York Jets are an absolute dumpster fire. They cannot move the ball. They are inept offensively. So I don't know how the Jets are going to score 10 points. The Dolphins almost lost to the Bills at home last week. They were one. I mean, Josh Allen made a great play at the end of the game to scramble, throw like a 45-yard bomb to the end zone, came up just short. Charles Clay dives, doesn't quite catch it. They would have won the game. If they would have won that game, they'd be 5.5-point favorites. They lose by that much. So this week, the Bills, they are still playing for something. They still play with pride. They still give a lot of effort. And I love the Buffalo defense. The Buffalo Bills defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL. Doesn't get a lot of pub because they don't win a lot of games. But go ahead. Take the Buffalo Bills -3.5 and go ahead and take that to the bank.
Sam Darnold playing?
I don't care.
I think he's back.
Great. They're both terrible quarterbacks.
Is it in Buffalo, though?
It's in Buffalo.
Okay, because, yeah, Buffalo is damn good at home. Watch the whole game when they played the Titans. You don't score on that frozen tundra.
Yeah, exactly. You don't score. They don't give up points.
And actually, it may be snowing up there this weekend.
I mean, that changes the whole game. If it is snowing, that changes. I mean, guys, it's anybody's game. Anyone that doesn't fumble is going to win. Like, it doesn't matter. This is the funny thing. It's like, you got to take the home team if it's going to snow because they're used to the snow. Guys, a lot of these dudes just moved there this year. Like, they're not used to playing the snow just because they lived there the whole summer.
You're right. Like, they are in the summer.
People act like, always take Buffalo when it's snowing. Guys, just because they're not from Buffalo. It's not like they grew up there.
They're in Miami different. 2 months ago.
Freaking LeSean McCoy never spent winter in snow.
But if he has a house there, you're the difference idiot. Is like if you're the Atlanta Falcons and you're going up to Buffalo,
yeah.
The Bills probably they practice outdoors some. They're used to playing outdoor cold weather. The Falcons play perfect weather, perfect conditions all the time. So there is a little bit of it factor when you do play outdoors in the cold. Like
But my point is, yes, you're right. This year, though, but like if I say, Lunchbox, you got to train because we're going to go to Russia, and I'm going to put you in the cold outside. It's like 45 degrees today, you know, maybe 30. It'll get 30. And I train out there like for 4 months. Not even. It's been probably cold in the—
4 months is an advantage.
No, listen. It's been cold in the United States probably for about 2 months. Really, just 2 months.
Now you're talking geological weather patterns. Get to your point.
My point is they've not been playing in the cold in Buffalo they've only been playing in the cold for a month or 2 months.
Okay, that's 2 months more than—
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. It really, like, when you play in perfect environment all the time, like the Falcons, they play in a dome, so there's never wind, no, there's never cold.
Then this is what I would do. Guys, let's go to the practice facility, put it in Arctic mode. And it's freezing. Everyone's like, God, man, coach, can you freaking put the heater on? No, we're training for Buffalo. Same thing. It's only been a month or two that they've been playing in the cold weather.
Yeah, and I think it's a big deal when you go from nice, cozy conditions out there in the dome to, oh, my God, freezing Lambeau Field, sort of like the Falcons are going this weekend. I think it makes a difference because some people, like Sam Darnold, California kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, always on the beach.
On the beach. Now he's playing out there in Buffalo. Because he's playing for the Jets.
You're right. He's never thrown a frozen football unless he plays like in the Washingtons or stuff like that.
Guys, Sam Darnold, though, like he plays for the New York Jets. Like the New York
get the team right.
Is 2 hours away from Buffalo. Like,
no,
it's the same.
He should be. No, I didn't say the weather was a factor in this one.
Yeah.
And this one I didn't because they're both New York teams. But if it was the Falcons going up to Buffalo, oh, I think it's a huge advantage for the Bills to be playing outdoor in the bad weather against a dome team. That just...
That's what we do here. We voice our opinions.
But you got mad at me when I voiced my opinion because I don't...
Because you didn't watch the game. It's like when I get mad at you at like soccer and I don't even play soccer. Like,
well, no. Yeah, in Lunch's defense, I was actually watching. I watched highlights. And I don't know if the crowd was.
It's not the highlights.
But I'm saying, no. I'm saying through the TV, you heard.
It's crazy. Coach, I swear to God. And I texted both of you guys yesterday. And I go out on my back deck and I'm like, I wish these two were here to hear these fireworks from 20 miles away. All you hear is.
And I'm three blocks away.
And I'll tell you, Coach,
I was up multiple times last night, and I knew they were scoring
some
touchdowns.
Just to prove to you that I heard it, I mean, the fireworks went on for 30 seconds.
After the game?
Yeah, it wasn't one. It wasn't two. It was 30 seconds of pure fireworks.
Look, I'm glad.
I can even see the glow.
Great. I just don't want you to get mad at me. I'm just saying,
I'm not mad at you.
No, you got mad at me when I argued about them putting Henry back in because they chanted his name. My whole thing is I've watched sports a long time, and I have never seen a coach put a player back in the game because the fans chant his name.
Well,
the coaches are pretty immune to what the fans are saying. They have their own minds, and they don't listen to fans.
Well, if I could say, like, I wasn't there, but watching the TV and seeing all their facial expressions and the way they were acting, that's why they did it. I can just kind of see it. That's my point of view. You're right. I wasn't there. I wasn't part of that conversation. But I heard the Henry. I heard the chanting.
You saw the lips. The crowd's chanting.
No,
put him back
I saw the lips. Should we put him in? I saw the lips. Should we put him
and
in?
And then you saw the other lips. The crowd's chanting.
And I saw Henry go, no, shake his head, no.
Because he wanted, in an interview after the game, he said, I wanted my teammate. Like, he deserves to get a touchdown just as much as I do. So
they gave him the shot. He fell short. So then I see Drabel look at him and say, all right, let's go. Put your helmet on. Get in there. They want you.
And I love Vrabel, though,
Did I say Drabel?
Yeah, I don't know what you said. But Vrabel then, he goes, oh, you think we're going to run? They passed it on their last play. Like, hey, we're still going to try and score. Yeah. You guys think we're trying to go for five touchdowns?
And it was a
bad
pass.
Trying to get another touchdown. We don't care about the running touchdown.
Yeah. So, all right, well, enjoy the weekend. Army-Navy game, guys. If you've never seen it, it's a pretty fun watch.
It is a good watch, but don't bet it. Who knows on it?
Yeah. Well, it's a close point spread. It's just a 50-50.
7 points.
No, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's not a close point.
But I'm just saying, it's a cool thing to see all the Army cadets and the Navy, all the people in the stands in their uniform. It's a really cool game, and the respect and admiration they have for each other and the rivalry. So,
listen, I've put in tons of money on it back in my day, but I've learned you can't predict that one. Just let it happen and salute the TV. God bless.
All right. We are out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. Let us know what you thought about the Sean Johnson interview.
Thank you, Sean Johnson, for coming in.
If you guys were wondering, she was wearing a ring. Thing looked like it was worth about $1 million. It was shockingly shiny. There was diamonds all around
it.
Bling, bling, bling. She's stayed in shape all these years. Like, she's the exact same girl she was 10 years ago. She was awesome. Great personality off the air.
It was fun having her on the show.
I think she wanted to go to lunch with us, honestly.
I know she did, but you guys wanted to keep recording this podcast.
Yep.
I was like, let's go.
She's like, do you guys want to do lunch? That would have been like, well, dude, I would have like fallen back.
You want to go to Chewy's?
Hey, we could have gone to Chewy's. I'd have taken her from good text
man. Nicer than that.
Do you guys want to go to Chewy's now?
Maybe.
All right, I'm down.
All right, we're out.
All right, we're out.
I wonder if she listens to her podcast, the one she was on.
No.
Nah.
Oh, does she go back and listen to this? Yeah. Nah.
I bet she does.
Okay. All right, everybody have a good weekend.
Check those downloads.